Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a calm conversation that'll hopefully lead you to a space of relaxation and possibly even sleep. Thank you for listening to the Insomnia Project, the podcast that was created by insomniacs for insomniacs, but we find a lot of people listen who aren't necessarily insomniacs. So thank you for listening. I'm your host, Marco Timpano. And joining me today, I have the pleasure of welcoming back Amy Dyson. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Amy, I wanted to talk to you about this thing you call netball. And I need some instructions, some understanding behind it. What is netball?
So netball is a sport a bit like basketball. In the UK, it's kind of what most girls play while the boys are sort of playing football or whatever. So it's quite popular in schools. But yeah, it's basically a bit like basketball, but with a few more rules.
Okay, so what are the rules that make it different?
So you have three sections on the court, and basically you have certain positions that can go in certain sections. Only two of the positions can shoot. You can only hold the ball for 3 seconds and you're not allowed to move with the ball. That's the main thing. So if you catch the ball, you can't move your feet. You have to stay there.
So if you catch the ball, you have to stay standing where you are and then you just throw the ball to a team member who runs. But once they catch it, they have to stay still?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And are you using a ball that is similar to what we might know as a basketball?
Yeah, I think it's a bit smaller.
Okay.
But it's the same, yeah.
No, it's the same. It's the same type of ball, but slightly smaller than a basketball.
Yeah.
And you play this game?
Yeah, so I started playing when I was about 9 or so. And then I played at school, and then I played for my town. And then I played in like a ladies' league on a Sunday. And I've stopped doing it since I went to university, but I'm hopefully going to start playing again soon.
And what position did you play, or if there is a position?
So there's 7 players on a team.
Okay.
So coming from the sort of goalkeeper, you've got a goalkeeper, a goal defence, a wing defence, a centre, a wing attack, a goal attack, and a goal shooter. And I used to play centre. So the centre does the most work, really, because they can go in all the sections. But then I sort of became more of a goal attack and sort of like the shooting side of it a bit more.
Can you bounce the ball? Are you allowed to dribble the ball?
No. So you can do a bounce pass where you like pass it to someone by bouncing it once or so. But if you bounce the ball out to yourself, it's pulled up and it's called repossession, so you're not allowed to do that.
Oh, I see. So there's no real bouncing in netball other than if I bounce pass.
Yeah.
And it's got to be a one bouncer, not more?
It can be more, but
okay.
If you're deliberately doing it, it's probably going to be one bounce. People like to do it in the circle when they shoot because if the goalkeepers are sort of stood high trying to stop you from shooting, then if you bounce it, it's hard for them to get down because they're standing so tall.
I see. So the goalkeeper is basically guarding the net, and the net is like what we would know as a basketball net. Is that correct?
Yes.
We're not throwing it into a goal. We're not throwing it into a goal area like in soccer, let's say,
no.
or football.
So it's okay. It's a basketball hoop as such, but there's no backboard, and it's like freestanding. So it's a freestanding goal and the hoop itself isn't. I know in basketball the hoop's quite a bit bigger than the ball, but the hoop is only just bigger than the ball in netball.
Oh, okay. So it's trickier to get it in because the circumference of the hoop is smaller than what a traditional basketball hoop would be.
Yeah.
And it's not suspended in the air like a basketball hoop. It's on more of a pole, you're saying?
So you have like a base and then a pole that goes into it with a hoop on top.
And how many goalkeepers are there?
So you have the goalkeeper who can only go in their third. And then you have the goal defence who can go in their third and in the middle third. So it's a bit more of like a wing player.
I see.
So they're kind of stopping. So they can both go in the semicircle. So only the goal attack, goal shooter, goalkeeper and goal defence can go in the semicircle to shoot or to defend. But basically the goal defence is sort of helping the wing defence in stopping it getting into the that third, whereas the goalkeepers, like, only really when it gets to that third do they sort of come into it.
This is it. It sounds like an exciting game. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I went to I was lucky to go to watch some professionals play last year in London, and so it's a sport that gets played indoors and outdoors. So when I used to play before university, we trained indoors, but we played outdoors. But as an indoor sport, it is very, very fast. I mean, I think the quarters are normally 15 minutes. And when you're in the professionals, like it's like 100 all or something. Like there's a lot of goals.
Wow.
So basically if you score, it's like the other person's center. And in the professional matches, it is like center to goal in sort of, I don't know, like 10 seconds maybe or so. It's very, very quick, and especially indoors as well, because the court's not that big, but obviously because you can't move, it's a lot of teamwork.
Right.
But watching the professionals, it is very fast paced.
And you call them goals versus baskets when someone scores a point, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I know there's some talk about, do you call it nets or do you call it goals?
Oh, okay.
I've always called it goals. I'm not sure if that's the right term, but no
sure.
one's corrected me. So
now, is netball a Olympic sport yet?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, because this is the first I've heard of netball, and now I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah, so I know when I went to watch it last year, it was England, South Africa, Jamaica, and maybe Australia. So I think they're the top like four teams.
Okay.
That are like really good at it. But yeah, I know that I've spoken to like a few people that aren't from the UK and they haven't heard of it. So maybe it's more of a European thing. I'm not sure.
Sure. Well, I have here, I just did a quick search. It says netball has never been played at the Summer Olympics, but its federation has been recognized by the International Olympic Committee, otherwise known as the IOC, since 1995. After a 20-year period of lobbying. So that's fascinating. It's they recognize the sport, but it hasn't been included in the Olympics.
Oh, interesting.
It hasn't been. Yeah. So that's fascinating. Now, who is your netball team? Besides England, of course. Yeah.
So netball's a game that I sort of play more than support.
I see. Okay.
So I've went to see England play last year, but other than that, I've only really sort of been to see sort of my friends or other teams that I know people that play for. So I don't really follow it to that level. But I know that you have school teams and then you have like Sunday leagues and then you have sort of county teams, and it obviously goes up to being international. So I don't follow it enough to know many teams really.
Sure, sure, sure. Wow, I find it a fascinating, you know, having never heard about it other than a brief discussion you and I had about netball, I had never heard of this sport. And now it's just, I think it's such a interesting sport because for my eyes, being used to basketball, and of course, my home team is the Toronto Raptors, and there's quite a bit of, you know, we see a lot of paraphernalia with regards to basketball, and, you know, there's jerseys and things you can buy ever just about everywhere, and games are always on television. But to see a game where there's similarities but drastic differences is just fascinating. I would love to see this sport where they don't dribble the ball, and I'm kind of sad that the Olympics haven't yet put it into their Summer Olympic programming.
Yeah, so another sort of key difference is with the marking. I'm not too clear on basketball, but I think you can kind of, you don't have to be a distance, do you? You can just sort of be stood next to them, I think.
Yes, you can be right close. I mean,
yeah, so in netball you have to be a meter or 3 foot away from the person before that. So if a player has the ball, the person that marking them can put their arms up, but they have to be a meter away from them. So they can't just sort of be stood right in front of them. And that's one of the rules that sort of new players always seem to struggle with, because they kind of, I think they forget, and their default is sort of the basketball sort of mentality of like not having a limit of where you can be stood.
I see. Tell me how you got into netball.
So I, as I say, started playing when I was about 9. So I used to play for my primary school. And then from there, I went to the trials for my local like youth town team. And I got into that. And then when I was 16, that was like when the cutoff for like you couldn't play there anymore. And my coach helped me find a local women's team that needed players. So I started playing there. And then actually my mum actually joined the team as well, because she used to play with the same sort of players back before I was born, so about like 25 years ago. And she'd kind of stopped playing since she'd had me and my brother. So it was quite nice for her, because when we joined and we started playing on a Sunday, there were a lot of players that she used to play with as well. So it's quite nice because she knew quite a lot of the other players. And so, yeah, I just started sort of playing on the women's team, which was a bit different to playing other people my age. But it was a good experience.
Sure. Did your mother give you any helpful tips when you were playing, having played the sport herself?
I can't really remember, but one of the things that me and my mum both sort of struggled with is that we're both quite short, and netball, especially if you look at sort of the England players and stuff, they're all very tall. So I remember there was a time when, so over the summer months we played, when we had our matches, it was versatility. So you basically just picked a bib at random, so you could be in any position. And I remember one game when she's about, I don't know how tall she is, like 5'2". And she got goalkeeper against this lady who was like at least 6 foot. And it was just really funny to watch, because there was no chance. But I think because of that, we've sort of adapted our own game to sort of play as shorter players, because you're at a disadvantage because people can just throw the ball over your head. But because of that, you sort of got to find your own strengths a bit more.
So what are some of the strengths that you have as a player when you play netball?
So one of my mum's favourites is to, especially when you're shooting, to sort of, like I said, like roll the ball, because everyone's always so focused on it being high up. So she always likes sort of bounce it or roll it along the floor to you, because obviously we're both closer to the ground.
Sure.
But yeah, I think that, and just sort of maybe there's a lot of like dodging that goes on, so like pretending to go one way and then running another way and stuff.
I see.
And then other than that, I guess probably just sort of like conserving your energy like where you can, because especially the center, like netball is like my main sport really, so I don't really do like athletics or running and stuff.
Sure.
So because of that, my stamina is not amazing, and some of the people I used to play against were like really into like running and stuff, so they had a much better stamina than me. So it's just sort of finding your opponent's weaknesses that sort of are the same as your strengths.
Of course.
And I guess reading the game as well. Like, my mum always likes to sort of read the game and sort of see what's going on, and sort of as you're playing to sort of work out, because you have like team chats at every quarter. So like after 10-15 minutes, you can have a bit of a team chat and sort of have a talk about like tactics and that sort of thing.
Oh, that's cool. Now, you said you can roll the ball. You can actually just roll it like a bowling ball, like to your teammate.
Yeah, so obviously that's something they do if you're like quite close to the player. And again, like if you're I know some people like to sort of pretend they're going to shoot and then roll it because of the whole taking a while maybe to get to the floor. So that's used sometimes for shorter passes. But then there's also a rule about short passes. I'm not really clear on it because it seems to be one of those rules that sometimes it gets pulled up and sometimes it doesn't. But there's some rule about a short pass, and like you're not allowed to do a short pass, but I'm not quite sure how far away a short pass is or how that rule works.
Wow, this is really like fascinating. I'm really like thrown by the fact that you can roll the ball. So let me ask you this silly question. Can you kick the ball?
No, you can't kick the ball. And at school we always got told that you shouldn't kick them either, because they egg. So where they are a sort of circular ball, they sort of swell in one area if you kick them too much.
Oh, wow. And become more oblong like an egg, or more oval.
Yeah,
like
just sort of have a bit of a bump on them, which isn't very handy.
Yeah, nobody wants an eggy netball. I think that's something you can write in stone somewhere. Oh, my goodness. Now, this reminds me of, in a weird sort of way, the television series Ted Lasso. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
So it's this wonderful, wonderful television program where this American football coach goes to the UK and becomes the coach of a soccer, or in your case, football team. And so he brings his sort of American football coaching sensibility to the game of soccer or football, or European football, I should say. And it's really delightful, even if you don't know anything about the two sports, but just the performance. And it's very, what's the word? It is a very uplifting show. And it's kind of a fish out of water. So I feel a little bit like a fish out of water talking about a sport that I have no idea about. But now I'm intrigued. I really want to see it. I see that it's often played by the Commonwealth and in Commonwealth games. So yeah. it leads me to believe that maybe my country has a netball team, but clearly we're not doing well because it seems like South Africa and Australia and Malawi seems to be doing well too. And it's like, wow, like now I want my country to do well in netball.
Yeah.
Perhaps I can be the spokesperson for netball in Canada. Wow. Now, when you watch the game as a player, do you get to enjoy the game watching it, or are you just looking at strategy and false moves and what they could have done better?
I think because the court isn't, I don't know the sort of dimensions, but the court isn't very big. So I think the only point you can sort of stand and enjoy it is maybe if you're like goalkeeper or goal shooter. So like on a centre pass, for example, so sort of the kickoff of the game.
Sure.
So you step into the little circle that's in the middle of the court, and then so you have the three thirds, and your goal defence. So each player has a player opposite them. So obviously, like my goalkeeper would be against your goal shooter.
Okay.
So there are 14 players on the court at a time, and so like on a center pass, you have to be the only two people in the center on the center pass are the two centers.
Okay.
So the other players all have to be behind that third line. So in either of the end thirds. And then the whistle goes, you step into the circle, and then they run in. So there's a lot of involvement in the sort of those, sort of the centre, the wing attack, the wing defence, the goal attack, the goal defence. So it's only really the goal shooter and the goalkeeper that at any point are sort of maybe not involved. So I think because of that, like, as I say, it's very quick paced. So I think unless you're either of those positions and the ball's at the other end, like, you're always sort of switched on and trying to figure out what's going on and stuff.
Right. Well, this just in, it seems that the highest we've ever ranked Canada's netball team at the Netball World Cup has been sixth in 1991. We came in sixth. And it seems like Australia and New Zealand really know how to play, because they come in first and second and third. And England, while it's never received a gold, or has never received a gold, has come in second, third, and fourth. And so they do very well, as does Jamaica and Trinidad and Tobago. And I'm just looking at the Netball World Cup. So I haven't even looked at the netball at the Commonwealth Games, or the Netball Quad Series, or the Fast Five Netball World Series. And hopefully we'll get to see netball at the Olympics, because now I'm in love with the sport that I've never seen before in my life. Do you think we could at all get Liz Ellis, the most capped international player in the history of Australian netball, on our podcast? Do you think we could get her?
I think she'd be very interesting to talk to, like, with the sort of more elite level of the game.
Yeah, because I'd love to get her on. So this is an open request for Liz Ellis to come on the podcast, and perhaps she can explain strategy. Perhaps she could give me some tips that I could give the Canadian national netball team so that they can rank a little bit higher. We tend to be in the 12th and 13th position a lot, it seems. So if I could get us back up to the 5th and 6th position, I'd be very happy. Oh, this is such a wonderful, wonderful sport. And what is the biggest challenge of playing this sport for you, Amy?
That's a good question.
Sometimes I bang them. I get a couple of good questions.
I think with me, it's probably more like the stamina. So, as I said, I didn't play netball at university. I played badminton instead, and there was actually the netball team at the university did a charity match each year, so I convinced everyone to join, which was like usually me, one other girl who'd played before, and the rest of them being boys who'd never played before. So we used to play against, it was only once a year, but we played twice in that against the other sports teams. And I think even then, like, I put myself forward as centre because I thought, okay, I know the game, like, I know how to play. I can sort of, because the centre is the middle player as such, like, it's quite a good position to be like captain or something, because you can like see everyone and like sort of talk to everyone. And I think from like playing that just sort of a one-off, like the past couple of years, like, I realise how not necessarily unfit I am, but like badminton's a much different sport, so like the two levels of fitness is so different. And I sort of always finish the first, so netball's done in quarters, after the first quarter I'd come off like really struggling for sort of breath. I just feel like I'm not even like, I am quite active and do sport, and I was like, I'm so tired already, like, so I think just sort of pacing myself a bit more, and just maybe if I was to sort of start again, or sort of maybe try and get better, because I mean, I'm looking at joining my old club again, but I'm sort of only going to play recreationally. I think if I was sort of had a more of a push to sort of get better, I'd want to work on my stamina.
And what is your old club? Can we give them a shout out, your old club?
So when I first joined them, they were Panthers, and then they became Montang Sports, and now they're Benchmarks.
Wait a second. So they were this really fast, dangerous animal called the panthers. Then they became the Montags. What are Montags?
So they were Montagne sport, like I'm not even going to try and pronounce it in French, but you know, like mountain in French.
Oh, Montagne. Sure, of course, Montagne. So you went from panthers to a mountain. Okay, fair enough. Mountains are big and all-encompassing. And then from mountain, you guys decided to become what?
So it's benchmarks. So the first one, I don't know why they were called panthers, but the second two are both like local companies that sponsor them.
Oh, okay.
Hence the name. But yeah, I'm not sure why they were panthers. I liked being panthers. It felt quite cool. Now it's like just a sort of company name.
Fair enough. Yeah, you see that on a lot of you know, football teams. You'll see the different names on the jerseys and whatnot. Wow, this has been a delightful tour into netball. Now, you know what? I want to be Canada's representative of netball. So I might reach out to the Canadian Netball Association or whatever it is to say, hey, we want to, the Insomnia Project wants to be your official podcast. And you work on getting Liz Ellis on the show, Amy, and I'll work on teaming up with the Canadian Netball Association. I want to mention that at the Netball Commonwealth Games, I don't know if I mentioned Jamaica. Jamaica is also a very strong player in this sport. Since 1998 at the Commonwealth Games, there has been one, two, three, four, five, six in total, because it seems every 4 years they play. Australia and New Zealand have all won gold, and England won gold in the last one in 2018. And silver has always been won by New Zealand and Australia, and bronze goes to either England or Jamaica. So
yeah. I think I'd recommend, I think it was that one. So I think it was a 2018 one. I'd recommend watching the YouTube highlights, because basically there's a thing called a penalty shot. So if I'm the shooter and the keeper sort of touches me or hits the ball out of my hand while I'm shooting, you get a penalty shot. And I think it was that game when England won it that so there's a penalty shot, the whistle had gone, but you still get to take the penalty shot. And basically it was a draw, and if they scored they won, and they obviously did score and win. So I think it's that. So I definitely recommend checking that out, because like the tension of like the sort of the last shot of the game, it's like all to play for. It's so tense.
Oh, I'm going to watch this like it's going out of style. Now, in 2022, the Commonwealth Games will happen in Birmingham, England. And I'm not making promises, but if you and I could go there as representatives of the official podcast of the sport of netball and, you know, do podcasts there, then that's my goal for 2022. Okay. Amy, are you on board with that?
That would be so cool.
Okay, well, I'm going to watch the YouTube highlight of that. I'm going to invite you to watch Ted Lasso if you get Apple TV, because it's really, really lovely. And maybe we can have a podcast where we talk about that as well. And we'll give you updates of whether we get Liz Ellis on the show or anyone else from various teams that play netball. Thank you so much for introducing me to this sport, Amy. I'm so excited about it.
Oh, that's so good to hear. I know sometimes, like, you get introduced to a new sport and you'll just be like, why do people play that? So I'm glad that that it's been positive for you and that you're interested in it.
No, I love sports that are not those like five traditional sports that the world watches. I love, like, I watched sumo wrestling one time. It was on television one Saturday afternoon, and I did not leave my my television, because I was so fascinated by the skill that these players have. And other sports, like you mentioned, badminton. Love watching badminton being played. So yeah, and we had a badminton episode. I don't know if you listened to that.
Yeah, I loved that episode. I haven't been playing badminton that long, but it's become more of my love than netball. And as I was listening to that, I was just like, oh, I remember learning all these rules, and some of it I was like, oh, I didn't know that was a rule. So no, I really enjoyed that episode.
Well, I'm gonna promise to have a bocce episode. I don't know if you've ever played bocce, which is like this Italian game of throwing these heavy balls onto sand.
Oh no, I haven't heard of that.
Okay, so we're going to have an episode coming up, maybe in the summertime, because it's more of a summer sport with bocce. Until then, thank you for listening. I know I got excited during this episode, so I apologize. Some of our listeners, they'll write me an email saying that some of the shows are a little bit too exciting. I apologize. It's often me that makes them too exciting. And for our listeners who have been lamenting about some of the sound issues we've had, we've corrected those. So please don't give us bad stars in our reviews because of sound problems. That's all my doing, and I'm trying to learn it as best I can. But for everyone else who enjoys the podcast, thank you so much for listening. And Amy, who is our social media manager, thank you for all that you do. If you write an email or an Instagram post, it's Amy who's the one who lets me know about it and often posts the things that we try to highlight. So thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Until next time, we hope you are able to listen and sleep.